Some of the things I'd like to spend just a few minutes on is talking about the things that we as Christians should be resolved about. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles.' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" The song service has been organized tonight by our brother Tom Money, has been centered around three things. Number one, it's the work that you and I do as Christians as we follow our Lord and Savior. Number two, the task that we have at rescuing those that are lost, those that are perishing in this world. And then we just sang a couple songs about our reward, the reward of heaven, the eternal reward that we all work for each day. I came across a poem many years ago that I believe sum up the whole concept of what we're trying to sing about tonight. And I'd like to read that for you here in just a moment. I love to sing. I always have. My dad led singing when I was young. I used to sit at his feet and look forward to the day that I could lead singing. And it's not just leading singing. I mean, I'll sing in the car and in the shower and other places. This morning, one of the songs that came to my mind was 182, and we often sing that. It's "I Believe" in Mount Calvary. It says, "I believe that the Christ who was slain on that cross has the power to change lives today. For he changed me completely. A new life is mine. That is why by the cross I will stay. I believe that this life with its great mysteries surely someday will come to an end. But faith will conquer the darkness and the death and will lead me at last to my friend, who is Jesus. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I'll believe whatever the cost. And when time is surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old rugged cross." One of the songs we sang tonight, the second verse says, "I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to lead the erring in the way that leads to heaven above, where all is peace and love." One of the things that I believe that the elders have laid out for us this week is, or this year, is how to grow the kingdom. And we've all got that on our minds. And in this poem I'm going to share with you, which is one of my favorite poems I've ever read, I'm hoping that it will motivate each and every one of us to want to do that very work that we have been appointed to do as Christians. It's simply entitled, "Tell Them of My Way" by Daryl Heimel. "I had a dream the other night that the judgment day was here. It came in the twinkling of an eye. I had no time for fear. I found myself in one great line with men from every land. Men from every race and age stood like grains of sand. Christ held the book within his hands and God was on the throne. He set out to judge man by the things which each had sown. Then Christ took the book of life and read the names therein. There were many that were once there, but were blotted out by sin. And I'd wondered if I'd find mine still, for it had once been there. Would my name be covered with stain, or would my name be bare? I stood in fear before the throne, and I thought back on all my life, how I had fought to keep God's word and flee from sin and strife. I never failed to read God's word. My love, it never died. I taught my children right from wrong, and I told them not to lie. I never failed to worship God on Sunday and Wednesday night, and often traveled many miles to hear a word of light. I gave my goods to feed the poor and never ceased to pray. I'd always kept my tongue in check until this very day. So surely the Lord will know me and tell me to walk on in. But Lord, please have mercy on all these lost in sin. And as I thought, the crowd moved up, and I was fifth in line. The men that stood before me were ready to pay their fine. The first man stepped to meet the Lord, and he fell on the floor. Then I saw just who it was. It was the man next door. Jesus took the book of life, but could not find his name. And my neighbor said, "I have not heard." And I knew that I was to blame. Next in line was Sister Ann, who once in Christ had been. But I failed to admonish her, and she continued in her sin. Her name had once been written in the pages of that book, but I never took the time to see why she forsook. Then a black man came before the throne. He had worked with me for years. He knew his name would not be there, and his eyes were filled with tears. This man had never learned the truth, and neither had his kin, for I would not talk with them for the color of their skin. And then the man before me I recognized, and as he stepped before the throne, he looked into my eyes. He was my roommate from college days. He had been my greatest friend. We'd always helped each other out, down through thick and thin. But I never told him of the Lord. It seemed so trivial then, and we were young and had plenty of time to talk of God and sin. And finally, upon the judgment day, I meet with him once more, but now there's nothing I can say to him to open up the door. And now I stood before the Lord, my soul filled with fright. Why hadn't I taken the time to teach them what was right? Again, the Lord took the book and looked there for my name. Where once had been a pure white page, my brother's blood now stained. And then the Lord said to me, "I found here one dark blot. You hid my name from all these men. Depart. I know you not. You met them every day in life and knew that they were astray, but you never even cared enough to tell them of my way." That can be a very emotional poem to read in front of an audience, let me just tell you. But it's a sobering thought. And it's a sobering thought that our Lord and Savior told many a times to many different people. And tonight he's telling that same story to you and I. We're embarking upon a brand new year. A new year that we know we have people we live beside, our neighbors, people that we work with, people that we know that have fallen away from the Lord. And we're going to give an answer on how we handle each one of those situations. I read that poem for your encouragement as well as my encouragement. We all need to remember the seriousness of teaching those that are lost. The elders have a vision of growing this church. And I think as members who submit to that, we also should share in that. And so I'll just say that next Sunday, when they stand before us and they present that, I hope that everyone will be here for that. I see that as the most important thing of my week, and maybe the most important thing that I can be at all year. I hope you'll be here. We've sung of the work, the rescuing, and that great reward. And I'll tell you what, if you share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those that are lost, the reward that you and I have is just not describable. Yes, there are some in this book. John in Revelations tries to tell us what it's going to be like. And we all may have a vision of what that's going to be like. But I see that when we get together and sing like we've done tonight, that's just a very small taste of what heaven is going to be. If you haven't given your life to Christ, we want to give you that invitation and an opportunity to do that even tonight. All you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that God sent Him here, and that He lived a perfect life, and that He died for your sins, and that you recognize that you're a sinner, and that you're separated from Christ. And maybe you've already been baptized, and maybe you've fallen away and need help or prayers of the congregation and the family here at Eastland. If there's any need that you have, I hope that you would be resolved tonight to make that right. And let us all be resolved in this new year to do all that we can to share the gospel with those that are lost. Let us stand as we sing, please.